Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Our text for this morning comes from the gospel lesson from John chapter 20, especially these words. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is our text. You may be seated. Seeing is believing, or so it is said. This proverb certainly seems to be the principle upon which Thomas was living his life. It is the principle upon which many people in our times base their beliefs. What people can see instills trust, belief, faith, if you will. It makes sense, right? We're not going to trust that our car has been repaired unless we see it ourselves, test it ourselves. We want our politicians to do what they say they will do. We want our medical test results. We want to see them to convince us whether we are okay or not. We want the evidence that our CPA or financial planner knows what they're doing before we entrust our money to them. We want hard evidence that this virus is as bad as we are told, or that the danger is over. Seeing is believing. It was no different in Jesus' day. It was no different for Thomas. Some disciples and the women who went to the tomb that Easter morning had seen the risen Lord. As the 10 disciples sat in the upper room on Easter evening, the Lord appeared to them. But Thomas had not. "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Evidence. That's what Thomas wanted. And who wouldn't want that evidence? Why should we give Thomas a hard time? He just wanted what the other disciples already had: an up-close and personal visit from the risen Lord. Why should Thomas be any different? Seeing is believing. We're like Thomas. When our faith is tested, we want proof. We want to see or experience the evidence that what we believe is actually true and has some merit. We want God to reveal his love and presence to us in some tangible way, usually a tangible way of our own choosing. Surely, if God truly loves me, he will grant me good health, good marriage, devoted children, success in the workplace, a stable life, a good retirement, a tax return refund, happiness, whatever it may be. Oh, sure, we can reflect on God's promises to us, and perhaps as we think back to past difficulties, past trouble, we can in retrospect see how God has been with us in our darkest hour. But in the present moment of struggle, we want to see the evidence now. What have you done for me lately, God? Seeing is believing. Or perhaps we seek evidence of God's favor in a little more pious way. If God loves me, he will help me be a better person, help me to overcome this sin or that sin, move me to be in his word more. If God loves me, he will give me some sign of how I should make this decision or that decision, or how I should respond in this certain situation. If God is truly present with me, I will feel his presence and his guiding and be able to lead a life worthy of him. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, says Jesus. Not seeing and yet believing. What if you had been there when Jesus turned the water into wine? What if you were there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, drove out the demons, healed the blind, stilled the storms, walked on the water? Would your faith be unshakable? Many people saw these things, these wondrous miracles that Jesus performed, and while they may have been impressed, most either believed in him for a little while and then didn't, or simply didn't believe at all that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. What if you had been there when God used the plagues and cast them down upon Egypt through his servant Moses, or parted the Red Sea? Pharaoh witnessed the power of God in the plagues and yet wouldn't give in, wouldn't believe. Instead, he hardened his heart to the word of God. But I thought seeing was believing. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are you because you have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus here in the gospel is speaking about us, speaking about you. You have believed because of the witness of the word of God. You have believed because in your baptism you were buried with Christ and raised to new life, joined in his resurrection. You have believed even though you haven't firsthand witnessed the sea parting, the storms being stilled, the blind being healed, the dead being raised. Blessed are you. John tells us, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. These things about Jesus are written. They are proclaimed. These things are taught so that you may believe without seeing. The problem with only believing based on what we see is that what we see in this world, what we see in ourselves, what we see in others, is often the opposite of what through faith we are called to believe. When we examine ourselves in the mirror of God's law, when we see the sin in ourselves, when we see the sin in others, when we see the death and destruction that this fallen world ravages on humanity, when we stand over the casket of a loved one, it's easy for what we see with our eyes to cause us to doubt. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. It is in these times that we must rest on the promises of God, not trust in what we see with our eyes, because the promises of God, that's all we have. Those things revealed to us in his word. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. We believe that his death on the cross cleanses us from all sin. We believe that he rose from the dead that first Easter morning. We believe that all things work together for our good. We believe that we too will be raised on the last day to live forever with him, despite what we see. That is the essence of faith, to believe what is true in opposition to what we see, in opposition to what the world or our own sinful nature or even the devil himself wants us to believe. St. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith and not by sight. And the writer to the Hebrews says this, now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Or the words of Peter from our epistle lesson this morning about Jesus, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We believe without seeing, at least not seeing in the way that the disciples did. And yet, our gracious and merciful God knows that we are flesh. We are people that live in this physical world. After all, he himself became one of us. He knows firsthand what sensate creatures we are. And so God does give us tangible things to hold on to, things to see. But they are the things of God's choosing, not the things of our own choice. And even these are received by faith. We are given the water of baptism, the waters that wash us and graft us into the family of God. God gives us his word to hear and to read that reveals God to us. He gives us the mouths of pastors to declare God's forgiveness to us. And we are given Jesus' body and blood under the very physical, visible, tangible, tastable bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, the sacrament in which God promises to forgive our sins. These things create faith. They sustain the faith in us, and yet they are received by faith. We see them, and yet we trust in the promises of God that he is there where he promises to be. These means of grace are the power of God that cause us to believe, even though what the world sees in them is not what we see. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.